Hello and welcome to another episode of Listing Bits. My name is Greg Robertson and I don't think I have anything but special guests here on my podcast. And today is no exception. I've got the incredible Kevin Green here from, I guess it's CoreLogic now, isn't it, Kevin?
It is CoreLogic now.
Welcome.
Thank you, Greg.
How are you doing?
Good.
So let's just get kind of started with, how long have we known each other?
It's got to be about 10 years now.
Yeah, about 10 years.
Since I came to the dark side of the vendor side of the real estate.
You were a broker before, right?
I was a broker.
Well, yeah, tell us, that's a good place to start. Tell us a little bit, what do other people don't know about Kevin Green?
I started off as a broker for a discount brokerage. So when people start complaining about discount brokerages, I know very firsthand as far as it's not really discount if you're going to provide good customer service. You've got to be full service. And I did with two help-you-sell franchises in Jacksonville, Florida.
You were help-you-sell. Wow. What time frame was this?
This was 05 and 06.
Interesting. You know, we bought, when I was at eNeighborhoods as the general manager, and I don't know if I was a general manager there yet, but I was sales and marketing or something, right? We bought the company, which was called Rechannel, who provided the tech for help-you-sell, right? And it was interesting because that platform, they had generated a hell of a lot of leads, but they really didn't know what to do with them because it was all about help you sell, right? So buyer leads were nothing. But that platform went on to become basically the back end and I guess front end of Remax.com, which is it's the most trafficked franchise site out there. So kind of interesting. What about before that? I mean, what school did you go to?
Went to Auburn University, which everybody kind of knows.
War Damn Eagle.
War Damn Eagle. My license plate says War Damn Eagle. Did United States Army, paratrooper for a couple years, for 4 years.
For 4 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Paid the bills. It paid the bills for college. I mean, that's what I used it for, is to the GI Bill and finish school and ended up getting into sales in college textbooks.
Oh, wild. Okay.
My mom is a college professor and writes college math books, college algebra, intermediate algebra, and she also does videos and stuff with that with Prentice Hall. And so got into that stuff.
And my wife, for whatever reason, wants to be a rep too. Did we talk about this?
No.
One of her things about kind of goals has been, I don't know if it's right now, she teaches kind of third and fourth grade now, but was to be a rep for a kind of publisher.
It was always, it was a cool gig because how teachers cycles and have summers off. Think about it as a book rep. Also, if there's nobody there to use your books, you kind of have it's cyclical as well. So, yeah. You have long vacations because there's nobody there. You're doing, some office work, but for Christmas and spring breaks happen, especially it was nice if your university's coincided, and it worked out pretty well.
Her mom was a teacher, but now runs a very successful, does some tutoring here in Huntington Beach, and all the kids go there. So yeah, I kind of know a little bit about that world. So how did you, so your help you sell, and then how'd you,
so my,
where did you go to the other side of the,
well, my father-in-law is a commercial broker. And so it was looking, assist to sell another discount brokerage was killing it in Northeast Florida.
Assist to sell was killing it. Okay.
Back then. And what it really was is, now that I've graduated into understanding the whole real estate world and settlement services and stuff, they were using it more as from a lead generation from a loan standpoint. It was a mortgage broker was really doing that. So that really was where the killing it was occurring, and then had a title company with that, et cetera. But we went in and the Help You Sell franchise was trying to break into the North Florida market, and so thought it would be a good idea.
Right. Okay. So, because you knew somebody that was killing with assist to sell, and you saw this model, like maybe you could take that to there. So, from the beginning, you were kind of like looking at a kind of offer everything service where you're going to do title, you're going to do mortgage, you're going to do, the selling of all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And how long were you doing that?
We did actually, I was thinking of the dates again. It was 04, 05, and 06. And then right before the downturn, I had some partners and we didn't get the settlement services, we didn't get the title stuff up and running. Mm-hmm. And it was just time to kind of move on.
06. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It was, the music hadn't stopped playing
but
yet.
But the faucet was turning off. Yeah. It was slowing down pretty quickly. And I'm one of those guys that actually got a job from monster.com. There's not many that you know that. There was a posting for a real estate technology sales and going into the portals and stuff. And managing the leads and doing that from a brokerage standpoint, I was like, this sounds right up my alley. And I applied and interviewed with Mona Steen.
Mona.
When she was doing all the hiring for Cyber Homes.
What an awful name too, right? But
yes. How many reiterations of Cyber Homes can you have and how many times can they sell it?
Yeah. No, that's totally true. So that's, wow, Mona, huh? Okay, yes. Great. And we know Mona famously went on to work at RPR and mm-hmm. she's been she's retired now.
She was with Realtor.com prior to that.
Yeah. So, yeah. OG, old gangster, right? Yeah. Original gangster. So you went to go work for Cyber Homes. That's how your thing there. Well, that's kind of a cast of characters too. I mean, there's a lot of
Marty people, Frame.
Right.
Oh, I now work with Ohan again. So right. Ohan was there. Audrey Whittington with List Hub.
Right.
Was there. And a lot of us, it was pretty good.
Lisa there?
Lisa Larson now. Yes. Yeah. Dave Fricker.
I remember when it was back then, it was either Vista or More Product. And John Mosey was the president of Cyber Homes originally.
That was
the original.
Yes, the original. Original. There's been many
incarnations.
And I believe now, if I'm right, Listing Book is the final owner of Cyber Homes.
Oh, wow.
As far as the title is concerned, I know it really was is the backbone of or the foundation of RPR.
Yeah.
At least the incarnation that I was a part of.
Right. Interesting. So that was Cyber Homes was part of LPS or was it Finis or what was it at that time?
That
Fidelity?
I got hired by FNF.
FNF, okay. And that's then, the only one I didn't say.
And then it got partially owned by FIS. And then I moved all the way over to FIS with but they just moved the pieces around. And then we got spun out into LPS. And for a very brief moment, we actually got spun out. The division was called Cyber Homes for about 4 months. And so I had that as my actual company name as well, then to LPS. And then our division got spun out or did a management buyout into Real Estate Digital.
Right. Okay. So you were part of that management by Real Estate Digital.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Jay Gaskell and John Hensley and some Prem. Others there, right? Yeah. Prem and the others. Right. So then this is like, what is this? 08?
6
years. 09?
Might be 10.
Might be 10. Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And it was right there after, you know, LPS was doing a downward spiral and. You know, Bill Foley doing what he does very, very well and letting parts and pieces go and reorganizing it before declaring bankruptcy, if I'm wrong on that one. I'm not 100% sure, but sold off the pieces and parts and then bought some of them back and repositioned them together and created a Black Knight.
Voila. Yeah. Right, yeah. And then Red went on. So you're working at Red.
I was working at Red. We were.
What was your role at Red?
I was the senior vice president of business development in the MLS channel.
Right. So you were selling basically public-facing portals and whatnot or what?
Public-facing portals, IDX, doing an agent website reselling program with some of the MLSs, helping MLSs as far as non-dues revenue. I think, you know, that was one of the things developed a way to do that with LPS/FNF, et cetera, with the Paragon team. During that downturn in the market where, you know, MLSs were looking for non-dues revenue because they were in contracts that they couldn't get out of and everybody was hurting and how do you do that? And it turned out to be a pretty good deal.
Yeah, yeah. So how long were you at, I don't know if you'd call it all one company, but all the way up until Red was sold, did a management buyout, how long have you been there at the other companies? And then how long at Red?
Total of 9 years. As far as all
okay,
of the incarnation of all of that.
I told you there would be math here. So
yes.
I expected you'd be
As I said, prepared. My mother's a math teacher. Yeah, so okay.
Interesting. So then you're working at Red, you know, you're successful doing that. And then now, you know, we come onto here. And when did you start working for CoreLogic?
Started working for CoreLogic in July. And I really was excited about it. And I have the longest title, I think, known to man. It's Senior Director of Strategic Partnerships and New Business Initiatives.
Yeah, that's Strategic negative.
I just like to call it special ops because it just makes me, you know, happy as.
Mr. Military.
Well, it's just a whole bunch of, you know, you're a jack of all trades, master of none. Can you help in certain areas? So from a strategic partnership standpoint, things that we've done with Instanet, NREX Drive Time, et cetera, and just, you know, recently announced a partnership with Centralized Showing Service. So really excited about, you know, finding what we feel like is core services to partner with our Matrix platform to provide good services to agents and brokers.
Right. And I mean, recently you guys have gone through a lot of kind of conversions though, right? As far as getting, you bought a lot of other MLS vendors. Mm-hmm. I guess this happened before you were there, right? But
the iPad changed the world.
The iPad changed the world, right? So, and basically trying to get everybody mostly on the other MLS systems out there under CoreLogic, but trying to get everybody to this Matrix system, right?
Correct.
And then I hear stuff about a new upgrade or a new type of, I don't know if it's a full system or is it just a version of Matrix coming out, right?
Yes.
So is that considered like another kind of conversion cycle, or is this mostly aesthetic things and some back end things, or is this like, you know, is it going to be, you know, going on from Innovia to Matrix?
For me to kind of talk about that, it's not my product. That's, you know, not trying to pass the buck here, but, and as I said, I've only been here 7 months.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think I'm not really comfortable as far as going down that road, right, as far that is, but yeah, because everybody is moving and trying to get on a bigger, faster, stronger.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of see that. But the bigger news was, and I think this was announced before you started, but I think this is maybe a reason you went over there, was this new Trestle initiative.
Absolutely. It is one of the main reasons why.
So just for us who are the uneducated, I mean, what is a trestle?
Well, the formal definition of a trestle is it's a bridge for a train, which is making a connection of two bodies, you know, whether it's, you know, bodies of land. But really and it's all about the connections, and that's what we're trying to do as far as connect data from an MLS to a technology provider and or broker that needs it. And so that's where the word trestle comes from.
Who came up with the name?
I believe it was John Green, the Green without the E.
The Green without the E, yeah.
Yeah.
Your predecessor.
My predecessor. Yeah.
So this comes from what I understood was with the RISO standards. Is it RISO or RESO? What do you call it?
Potato?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I call it...
Jeremy's got to like...
Call it RISO.
Yeah, RISO. Let's call it RISO. And Jeremy he should make a little quick video and then give us the proper pronunciation of everything, right? Just like when you go to the NAR stuff, they go, it's Realtor, like
yes.
Detour, right?
Yes.
We should know RISO or RESO.
Or RISO.
Or RISO. RISO?
RISO?
It's like a...
Yes.
Upward O.
Yes.
Anyway, so... I guess for a lot of their customers, and I don't know, they wanted to get their database up to that standards or the new standards, right?
Correct.
And then based upon that product, I mean, doing that, you also kind of discover that, hey, we might have a product here, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all standardized. Everything's kind of up to date on the RISO standards. And this might be a product that, as you know, things were coming out with this front end of choice and other third-party software systems needing this. You thought you'd make a go at this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we already had to create a database and do this for all of our customers as providing a RISO standard data dictionary compliant feed from a RET standpoint. Obviously, we're moving to APIs. And so that's the other part is having a RISO compliant API. And so having a centralized database to be able to do that for technology providers, I think would be an amazing thing. And we saw that from other people from when we were at Red, when I was at Red, and how people would like to have a aggregated feed for them. I mean, everybody has different fields out there. As I've said, there's over 700 different MLSs out there doing 700 plus different things. And so it'd be really nice to have one location where they could get all the data feeds, and especially in one feed.
Right. So I've been critical a little bit of this, right? I mean, I think that the best implementation of this type of strategy I've seen is what FBS and Flex has done with their Spark API, where I don't think they really promoted before, but they had a store, right? Mm-hmm. So if the MLS approved you, you could not only get a data feed from them, but you also could sell. Mm-hmm. And it was either in the store or not in the store, I understand. So whether directly through the store or not. So they handle both sides to me, which is key, which is the data access, getting that access in an API or some sort of standard format, and then the permission to go out there and do things with it, right? Does Trestle have any plans of kind of like overcoming that obstacle? Because it doesn't matter if I can get an app up and running in 2 days if it takes me 9 months to get permission to be there.
You know, you've heard me say a couple of times, and I said it on stage a little bit at the Clarity Conference, you know, trying to get from A to Z, you got to kind of stop by, you know, C and L and R and, you know, on the way there. And so there are stops to get there. And as you mentioned, there's a store. So the Trestle to start with is a data delivery, contract management, e-commerce platform. So you can, you know, go in there and I'm stealing. I always give credit when I steal someone's material, and our marketing guy, Scott Davis, calls it, it's kind of like going into a grocery store. I add the little element of it's kind of like going down the cereal aisle, and I'm going to pick up a box of Apple Jacks, a box of Rice Krispies, and a box of Cheerios. And just like I would do that, I could pick an IDX feed from CRMLS, you know, here in Southern California, or MLS listings and or, you know, Sandicor, and want to do that. And then I would get that in an aggregated feed. And also then check out and pay, sign the agreements for each one of those right there. See what their fees, if any, see what type of permissions they allow, and check out. So, you know, as you said, you still got to go through that contract process. It's not there yet.
And well, data access, right?
Data access.
They have to have a data access license, basically.
Correct.
Right, still.
But it's providing some transparency, and it's also, so it's a lot easier for a technology provider to find it, at least to be able to see and see where they are in the process, as well as from an MLS side to be able to have it out there and manage it. And, you know, I know some MLSs, when they do, you know, data feeds, fees for data feeds, it's always a tongue twister for me. A lot of them charge once a year because they just don't have the manpower to manage it on a monthly basis and or, you know, yearly make changes to their agreements or, you know, change their fees. You know, some of these guys are still doing stuff that they did in 2000. So that really helps them be able to manage that a little bit better. And then we're going to get to that Z platform where, you know, maybe with the advent of APIs and if they start having more APIs out there, it might be that one click. Hey, if you're going to use an API, because we can have some throttle, we can have some parameters around that, they might get there, feel more comfortable about that. Okay, if you use our API, we'll say yes. But if you want a RETS feed, you're going to have to go to the tech committee. You're going to have to go before the board of directors and go through that, you know, dance card punching process that I always called it. We all dread and have gone through. I mean, this will be, you know, my 9th anniversary. Because I finally got on the board of directors docket at then Mid-Florida MLS, and because it was July 18th, and they're like, hey, Kevin, we got you on the docket. Can you be here? It's like, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, we all have those stories, right? I mean, yeah. If they can get you, you got to go because you don't know if you're going to have that opportunity again.
Right, so then having a storefront to be able to, or having to do that, it can speed up the process. Is it perfect yet? No, but I think it is a platform that we can help move the industry towards that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I get that, right? I mean, I can be, you know, it's easy for me to say what I want, right? From behind a keyboard.
You never say what you
want. No. Right? I know, you know, I gave Tim Dane some shit about it, you know, when he announced that they could have developers go there. I'm like, well, that's great, but like, can they sell it? I mean, that's what somebody wants to do at the end of the game. But I guess by having this thing up and running, and like, if you get a lot of people using it, and then it just, the MLSs go, wow, this is like, you know, there's a lot of people using this, maybe it will force them or to think about other ways of kind of making that happen, right? If it wasn't there before, maybe they could just keep on going on the way they're going,
right? Yeah, unless they have tools to be able to do things, why are you going to, there's no reason for somebody to change. And I think also talking about, you know, Jeremy and Riso and others, you know, what are best practices? How are people are going to get to be able to move people to these APIs? I think that's another thing that Jeremy and folks and CMLS should be thinking about and talking about amongst themselves and of how, you know, you want to move to this new standard of an API. How do you help do that? And how do you educate the MLSs in doing that?
Yeah, and I felt like this Clarity conference that both you and I were at up in Scottsdale, I mean, they did a great job. I was reading a Facebook post from John Hawley of Netris, and he says, I've never heard the word API said so many times It's almost you want to take a shot when somebody said API. So
you got in trouble the last time you did that.
I'm not going back into that. But it was true to me, this conference especially, was really this kind of first thing talking about these different front end choices. And there's different flavors of that. There could be like, you know, our version is kind of like a cloud MLX, which is a alternative, you know, quick and simple way of searching the MLS instead of, you know, a traditional MLS vendor. But, you know, front end means basically just using another app, getting data from there, right? So I think that term can be loosely applied to a lot of different things there. It's just getting data from somewhere else and putting it in your world.
Correct.
In your wrapper, right? But this was like, I think the first, I think everybody's been talking about that world, but this was the show that started like, it's here, it's now, it's happening. Initiatives like Trestle, Spark stuff has been around for a while. And there were some other guys there that are kind of touting what they want to do in that arena as well, right?
Yes. I mean, I think it's funny if we all joke a little bit about Craig Cheatham and his, you got 10 days and his ultimatum. But it really, I think, has sparked or stoked the fire of trying to do some of these different things and creating different ways to service both, you know, brokers, agents, and MLSs. And us being an MLS vendor, you know, we're definitely looking at it from an MLS's standpoint. But all in all, you know, the APIs are going to serve everybody. I know it's API, API, API.
API. Maybe people can do a drinking game with this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to be the guy that always like, you know, I tell people that I work with, it's like, unless you've got a solution, I mean, don't just bring me the problem, bring me a solution, right? And I don't really have anything beyond what Spark has done or is doing. I don't have anything in my head that I could say. It'd be very difficult as the size that CoreLogic is to, you know, look at all the MLS customers you have and say, hey, if, you know, a vendor comes in and starts using the API, just carte blanche him into it, right? So you probably got some more politics there to deal with, but, or maybe not. I mean, why not like start there and then kind of like see what happens after that? I mean, you guys are famously good at writing agreements.
We actually have default.
Ba-dum-bump.
Thank you. We actually have default agreements part of the Trestle platform. So for those, you know, medium and small MLSs that haven't changed their agreements in years because of they may or may not have, you know, attorneys on staff or the ability to do that and not understand it, but just have the time to manage that and or the funds. We actually, surprisingly enough, do offer a default generic agreement for data feeds and broker authorization forms. And so, you know, the next phase of Trestle of just not just doing, you know, IDX is, you know, broker back office, it's the stats package, it's VAL feeds, and then ultimately having a syndication platform as well on there so that, you know, MLSs can have more control of their data and utilizing it.
So, I mean, to me, this is the ideal implementation of this is going to be for new vendors. People getting in the space, they have an idea for an app, right? But they don't want to go and like, you know, aggregate, you know, 100 different MLSs or 50 different MLSs. They want, you know, one place, one shop to go to. And I know, you know, I'm looking at you right now like, well, it's not just new people, Greg, it's existing guys like you, right? But hold on, follow me. So what is it going to cost for the guy in his garage who's got a killer, you know, real estate app and somehow hears about you? What is it going to cost for him to kind of get that data?
$75 a data feed.
$75 per month. And that is what type of data feed?
IDX.
VAL?
VAL.
Okay. So
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the feed is. It is $75 a data feed. So
okay. A month.
So let's use the analogy I used earlier with Sandicor and CRMLS and MLS listings here in California. If a garage, as you mentioned, a guy wants to expand in other markets, you know, instead of going through there, can go to the store and see that. And also because, you know, what Sandicor is on Paragon, you know, CRMLS is front end of choice, I guess, with Matrix and Paragon, and you have MLS listings on Matrix. You know, you have the ability to, instead of different fields and all that stuff, you're going to get one feed. So it's from an aggregation standpoint for that garage guy, he can scale much better and see what's going on. And all he has to do is pay the 75, whatever their fees are. You know, we're not.
Okay. So then that's an important distinction.
Yes.
So if it's you're paying CoreLogic $75, but you're still responsible to pay the fees of.
And you are responsible, but that's also done through the platform. So it is one-stop shopping. You're paying the fees to the MLSs.
So they say, okay, your invoice is going to read $75 for CoreLogic and, $100 a quarter from whatever MLS.
Correct. Right?
Okay.
Now, the big thing is we're there, it's one-stop shopping. We're providing an aggregated feed. And the other part is from a scalability, they can actually go on and see the other MLSs are out there. And maybe some, you know, we can't talk about fees sometimes because, from a legal standpoint, but they could see, what other markets are out there around. Is this something I want to go into, et cetera? So it does provide some transparency. And again, as my analogy of A to Z, we're moving down the road to being able to make it a little bit easier for the technology providers.
Right. So does the format of that feed matter? Does it have to be an API? Can I get a feed that I can aggregate and then do stuff to per my product, how my product wants to function?
No, the only two feeds that we're currently offering, of all those things I talked about, is either an API or a RESO compliant API or a RESO compliant RETS feed.
Okay.
And the big thing is because then that way you get it in one feed. So we are going to handle the aggregation standpoint for you and then give it to you there.
So what kind of SLAs can I expect from that?
I mean,
you don't want to get in the nitty gritty.
No, I mean, that's, I don't have my lawyer present. I'm sorry. Obviously we're going to be working on that as well. It is part of the agreement when a technology provider does sign there, and there are SLAs attached to that.
Right. Okay. So then, give me the pitch. I'm, Greg Robertson, I have an app, right? Or some guy has an app out there. I've already spent, the better part of 10 years doing my own aggregation, mm-hmm. right? And I have a system that works, right? It's mature. It's, we built this over 10 years. And what's the get for me, for a guy like me, to switch to Trestle?
Well, it's a combination of two things. One, if the MLS is going to deliver, chooses to deliver data that way, depending on who you are. I mean, that gets back to, again, what is Jeremy and CMLS talking about in what are some best practices? I mean, so if you did have a garage guy, again, from a startup.
No, but I'm
not talking. I know. Okay. I'm getting
all right,
there.
All right, all right.
And then you have, somebody like you that is mature and being able to do that. I don't have the answer per se because I don't know everything that you have and how your system's in place. I do know that I've talked to other technology providers, some large ones, and they're like, this would be a significant savings for me because I have a staff that's managing the agreements, having to pay the data licensing fees, which is, I don't want to call them, but it's an admin staff that's just doing that, as well as technical staff handling the aggregation. What happens when, ABC MLS changes the data field? Does things go down? I got to go fix that. They have a considerable amount of overhead to manage that, and they're actually really excited about it. So, yeah.
Right. So then let's do some back of the envelope math here, right? So if I've got 200 MLSs and it's 75 a feed, do I get a discount? Let's just do this live on the air right now.
Greg, don't do that to me.
75 times 200, right? So that's $15,000 a month, mm-hmm. right? So if I do $15,000 a month and I'm doing this live, that is equivalent of a yearly salary of $180,000 person, right?
But again, you're at 200 MLSs,
right? And it's I don't think any company out there has one guy that's making that happen for them, right?
No, they have multiple people,
right? So they're going to have multiple. This is going to help me with contracts, the technical, mm-hmm. the hosting, mm-hmm. in a sense. Yeah, you might have some takers out there.
Yeah,
I would say still more early on where. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think I can see your point about, there's a guy in the garage I think it's ideal for, but some people can do that math and say, this could make a lot of sense. Not that I'm talking about anybody that works for me. Just you guys, if you're listening, don't worry about it. Maybe. Okay, so when does this all launch?
Well, we have the first. It depends on what your definition of launch is one of my favorite. So we originally opened up in mid-October to get MLSs signed up for their certification process, to go through the RESO Web API certification. So that is truly, I guess, our first real launch, and to get people up. And then to start aggregating that data, because until you have a database for technology providers to go to, it really isn't going to be beneficial at all. I'm excited to say that we have 98 as of today, MLSs right
okay.
that are utilizing the...
Well, weren't you guys the one responsible for doing that? I mean, wasn't that the genesis of this anyway?
Well, absolutely. I mean, part of that is we needed to do this. And so that gets back into kind of a little bit about what you're talking with your funny math. It costs money to do this. I mean, we're in business. I mean, we're going to have almost $3 million total investment to be able to do this. So we like to, you know, obviously you got to have a return on your investment. We are a publicly traded company. So, but we did, you know, from a fee standpoint, try to figure out what is that a nominal fee to be able to do that, but to be able to get that return on investment. And so $75 a data feed really is, I think, a pretty good.
I think I know the going rate on where some companies have been charging.
I don't know what company you're talking about. So it's a significant savings from other aggregation services out there, absolutely.
Yeah.
But so for a long-winded answer for, you know, when's this launch? The next phase is actually having the technology providers, one, the MLSs to be able to upload their own agreement, or if they would like to use the standard CoreLogic agreement that's part of it, March 21st. So going to be launching that
soon, this month.
2 weeks as of yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in a sense, you're open for business. Now you can start taking these agreements. Now you have the feeds up and then, you know, so you're able to kind of get this thing going, right?
Correct.
Obviously, if it's not launched, you can't have technology providers on it yet. So that's, it begins basically.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So, and you can't have it also until the MLSs have put their terms and conditions in.
Yeah.
What fees they may have to be able to do that, to stock, like my earlier analogy with the grocery store, to stock the shelves per se.
Right.
We need to be able to stock the shelves and put
the pricing on
put the barcodes on there and be able to allow people to come and shop.
Yeah.
So that's March 21st. The next phase is right around the corner after that, right before mid-year, because we all like to launch stuff before before conferences, is the e-commerce platform and to be able to do that and manage that from there. And then broker access and being able to have them request data feeds will be July timeframe, just before Edmund. And a nice calendar going out from there with syndication and looking and exploring as far as what I was on stage for at Clarity for listing input.
Yeah. Well, this is great. I think this is, it gives me a much better understanding. And if anybody wants to sit through this wonkish conversation with us, I think they'll be very educated on what's going on here. But thanks for spending the time of coming here. You actually came out to WNR Studios headquarters here and down here in the mezzanine. And I appreciate you spending the time, man.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
All right. So thanks for listening and hope everybody's doing great. And somebody told me that if you give the podcast a good rating, it actually helps me. So even if you don't like the podcast, give it 4 stars or 5 stars, whatever the top one is. Okay. But once again, this is Greg Robertson with Listing Bits signing off. Thanks, everybody.